Hello everyone, I'm Julia Charlton. I'm delighted to be here with you today to talk about the SFC's recent consultation on the regulatory requirements for Hong Kong licensed virtual asset platform operators. So, briefly, Hong Kong's new licensing regime for virtual asset service providers, VASPs. In the past year, there's been a particularly eventful set of circumstances for the virtual asset market. We saw the collapse of Luna Token and Terra stablecoin. We saw highly volatile virtual asset prices and, of course, the collapse of FTX, all of which have exposed risks which can arise from virtual assets and emphasized the significance of effective regulation and oversight of the virtual asset industry. Some jurisdictions are now transitioning from a light-touch approach, regulating from an anti-money laundering perspective, to a more comprehensive approach, regulating from an investor protection perspective. The SFC's ability to regulate virtual asset trading platforms has been constrained in the past by the fact that its regulatory remit under the Securities and Futures Ordinance extends only to activities involving securities and futures contracts as defined in the Securities and Futures Ordinance. Given this constraint, the SFC introduced an opt-in regulatory framework under the SFO in 2019 for centralized virtual asset trading platforms which provide trading services in at least one security token. That's a virtual asset that's a security as defined in the SFO. However, the vast majority of virtual assets fall outside the statutory definition of securities, limiting the SFC's ability to regulate virtual asset trading platforms. To date, the SFC has only licensed two virtual asset trading platforms under the SFO, OSL Digital and Hash Blockchain. As the SFC does not have the power under the SFO to grant a license to or regulate virtual asset trading platforms which only provide trading services and non-security tokens, the many virtual asset trading platforms operating in Hong Kong have up to now been unlicensed. To remedy this situation, the Hong Kong government published a consultation paper in November 2020 to gather feedback on legislative proposals to introduce a new licensing regime for VA trading platforms which trade non-security tokens under the anti-money laundering legislation, which I'm going to refer to as the AMLO. Following the conclusion of the consultation, the AMLO Amendment Ordinance was passed in December 2022. The Amendment Ordinance sets out certain key provisions of the new licensing regime to regulate Hong Kong virtual asset trading platforms which trade non-security tokens, which is set to come into effect on the 1st of June 2023. On commencement of the new licensing regime, all centralized virtual asset trading platforms carrying on business in Hong Kong or actively marketing their services to Hong Kong investors will need to be licensed and regulated by the SFC, irrespective of whether they provide trading services in security tokens or not. Virtual asset trading platforms trading security tokens will be regulated under the existing SFO regime, while those trading non-security tokens will be regulated under the AMLO regime. In order to provide detailed regulatory requirements for the upcoming VASP licensing regime, the SFC published a consultation paper on the proposed regulations for licensed virtual asset trading platforms on the 20th of February 2023. This paper seeks to provide more details on the transitional arrangements and implementation in preparation for the AMLO VASP regime and consult on certain regulatory requirements under the guidelines for virtual asset trading platform operators, which are based on and which will supersede the existing regulatory requirements applicable to SFO licensed platform operators. One of the most important issues on which the SFC is seeking views is whether retail investors should be allowed access to the services of licensed virtual asset trading platforms for the trading of virtual assets. The period for commenting on the new requirements expires on the 31st of March. As the existing SFO regime has been in place for a number of years and the virtual asset landscape has changed significantly during this period, the SFC has also taken the opportunity to review its requirements and consider potential modifications. So today I'll mainly focus on discussing the key proposed regulatory requirements for Hong Kong licensed virtual asset trading platform operators with reference to these new VATP guidelines outlining requirements to ensure the safe custody of client money and virtual assets, know your client obligations, management of anti-money laundering and counter-terrorist financing risks, management of conflicts, admission criteria for virtual assets, prevention of market manipulation and abusive activities, risk management and proper accounting and audit functions. I'll also touch on the transitional arrangements and implementation details of the AMLO VASP regime. I will also explain the requirement for dual licensing under both regimes. So who will provide a license for providing virtual asset services? Well, as I just mentioned, all centralized virtual asset trading platforms carrying on business in Hong Kong or actively marketing their services to Hong Kong investors will need to be licensed by the SFC once the new AMLO licensing regime takes effect, irrespective of whether they provide trading services and security tokens. VA trading platform operators that trade non-security tokens will need to be licensed for providing a virtual asset service under Section 53ZRK of the AMLO. Virtual asset trading platform operators that trade security tokens will need to obtain a license for Type 1, that's dealing in securities, and Type 7, providing automated trading services, regulated activities under Section 116 of the SFO. While obtaining a license under either regime satisfies the licensing requirement, the SFC encourages virtual asset trading platforms to be dual licensed under both regimes to avoid any potential business disruption or violation of either licensing regime. I'll explore this point in more depth later in the webinar. Under the new VASP licensing regime under the AMLO, which takes effect on the 1st of June 2023, any person carrying on a business of providing a virtual asset service in Hong Kong or holding themselves out as doing so will need to be licensed as a VASP by the SFC. It will also be an offence for a person to actively market any virtual asset service it provides outside Hong Kong to the Hong Kong public without a VASP licence. The only activity currently defined as providing a VA service, however, is operating a virtual asset exchange, although the Secretary for Financial Services and the Treasury, the FSTB, will be able to amend that definition by notice published in the Gazette. Operating a virtual asset exchange is defined as providing services through means of electronic facilities whereby offers to sell or purchase virtual assets are regularly made or accepted in a way that forms or results in a binding transaction. Or persons are regularly introduced or identified to others so that they can negotiate or conclude or have a reasonable expectation of negotiating or concluding sales or purchases of virtual assets. And where client money or client virtual assets comes into the direct or indirect possession of the person providing the service. So what's the definition of virtual assets? Well, virtual assets are defined in the amended AMLO as a cryptographically secured digital representation of value that is expressed as a unit of account or a store of economic value, either is used or intended to be used as a medium of exchange accepted by the public for payment for goods or services for the discharge of a debt and or for investment, or provides rights, eligibility or access to vote on the management, administration or governance of the affairs in connection with or to vote on any change of the terms of any arrangement applicable to any cryptographically secured digital representation of value and can be transferred, stored or traded electronically. This definition would include Bitcoin, altcoins, and according to the FSTB consultation conclusions, stable coins too, irrespective of the purported form of the underlying assets. Governance tokens are also potentially within the scope of the proposed definition. However, the definition does not cover digital representations of fiat currencies, central bank digital currencies and financial assets that are already regulated under the SFO, for example, securities or futures contracts. Stored value facilities, which are separately regulated under the Payment Systems and Stored Values Facilities Ordinance, or limited purpose digital tokens, which include non-transferable, non-exchangeable and non-fungible closed loop limited purpose items such as air miles, credit card rewards, gifts cards, customer loyalty programs, and gaming coins. When the licensing regime for VASPs under the AMLO takes effect, the guidelines for virtual asset trading operators will apply to all VA trading platform operators licensed under the AMLO and or under the SFO, and these are defined as platform operators. As these VATP guidelines also apply to VA trading platform operators licensed under the SFO, they extend the AMLO definition of virtual assets to include securities tokens, which are defined as cryptographically secured digital representations of value, which constitute securities as defined in Section 1 of Part 1 of Schedule 1 to the SFO. The VATP guidelines also apply to individuals licensed under the SFO and the AMLO who are accredited to a platform operator. In order to be licensed, individuals must demonstrate that they are fit and proper to hold such a license, and they must continue to be fit and proper after becoming licensed. In determining whether a person is fit and proper, the factors which the SFC will take into consideration are modelled on the fit and proper requirements for licensed corporations, their responsible officers, and licensed representatives under the SFO. These factors include, amongst other things, the person's financial status or solvency, their educational or other qualifications and experience, evidence of their competence, honesty, and financial integrity, their conviction in Hong Kong or elsewhere for any money laundering or terrorist financing offence, or other offence involving fraudulent, corrupt, or dishonest conduct, or failure to comply with any other regulatory requirements applicable to licensed VASPs. These requirements are aimed at enhancing the overall AML-CTF competency level of the sector, as well as providing a substantial level of investor and customer protection. The VATP guidelines set out a series of general principles that VA platform operators are required to comply with. These are based on the general principles that apply to licensed corporations under the SFO and require that in conducting its business activities, a VA platform operator should act honestly and fairly with due skill, care, and diligence and in the best interests of its clients and the integrity of the market, and should have and employ effectively the resources and procedures which are needed for the proper performance of its business activities. A virtual asset platform operator is also required under the general principles to seek information from its clients about their financial situation, investment experience, and investment objectives, and to assess their risk tolerance level and risk profile relevant to the services to be provided. In its dealings with clients, a VA platform operator is expected to make clear and adequate disclosure of relevant material information. Other general principles impose obligations on the VA platform operator to ensure the reliability and security of its trading platform, ensure that client assets are promptly and properly accounted, 4, maintain proper records and endeavour to avoid conflicts of interest, and when they can't be avoided, ensure that its clients are fairly treated. Senior management of a platform operator are given primary responsibility for ensuring that appropriate standards of conduct are maintained and proper procedures are followed. Now, let me turn to the question that's been the subject of debate in Hong Kong's virtual asset community. Should retail investors be allowed access to licensed virtual asset trading platforms? When the existing SFO regime was first introduced in 2018, the virtual asset market was still relatively new. Given the novelty of the licensing framework, the SFC had previously considered it more prudent to restrict SFO licensed VA trading platforms to professional investors only, at least at the initial stage. Even when the FSTB first consulted on the new AMLO licensing regime, it was still proposed to restrict VA trading to professional investors. However, there are marked differences of opinion as to whether retail investors should be allowed access to the services of licensed VA trading platforms. On the one hand, there are concerns that many virtual assets have no intrinsic value and are prone to high volatility and market manipulation. On the other hand, lack of retail access to licensed platforms may push retail investors to trade on unregulated VA trading platforms offshore, which may offer limited recourse in the event of their collapse. The SFC notes that the recent collapse of unregulated VA trading platforms has resulted in investors being unable to withdraw their assets and suffering substantial losses. At present, two VA trading platforms are licensed under the SFO. Over the years, a number of virtual asset policies have been introduced to gradually allow retail investors to gain limited exposure to virtual assets through regulated products in Hong Kong. For example, in January 2022, the SFC allowed for the first time retail investors to access a limited suite of regulated virtual asset-related derivative products traded on conventional exchanges. Further, in October 2022, the SFC introduced a regime for the authorization of virtual asset futures exchange-traded funds, VA futures ETFs, which under three VA futures ETFs have been authorized by the SFC to date. The virtual asset market is constantly evolving, and we're seeing more and more global financial institutions and service providers, such as traditional custodians, entering the space to provide institutional-grade infrastructure. Generally, it appears that policies, procedures, systems, and controls that are comparable to those in mainstream finance are gradually being adopted with the entry of financial institutions. Based on these developments, the SFC is consulting on whether licensed VA trading platform operators should be allowed to provide trading services to retail investors subject to robust investor protection measures. Perhaps the most significant of the proposed investor protection measures, which I'll be discussing shortly, is that licensed platform operators will only be able to offer trading in so-called eligible large-cap virtual assets to retail investors. So turning now to the proposed regulatory requirements for SFC-licensed VA trading platforms. Currently, except for institutional and qualified corporate professional investors, platform operators are required to conduct knowledge assessments on investors before providing them with any services. If a client does not pass the knowledge assessment, the platform operator may only provide services after providing adequate training to the client. To provide additional safeguards, the SFC is proposing that, except in the case of institutional and qualified corporate professional investors, Hong Kong VA trading platform operators must ensure the suitability of their services for the particular client by assessing the client's risk tolerance level and risk profile in determining their suitability for participation in virtual asset trading. The SFC is also proposing to require virtual asset trading platform operators to set a limit on each client's exposure to virtual assets. This is intended to ensure that each client's exposure to virtual assets is reasonable as determined by the platform operator based on the client's financial situation and personal circumstances. Platform operators will be required to review such limit regularly to ensure that it remains appropriate. This latter safeguard will not apply to institutional and qualified professional investors. During the soft consultations conducted by the SFC, some suggested establishing across-the-board hard limits for the maximum dollar amount retail investors can be exposed to on each virtual asset trading platform. However, the SFC considers the hard limits may not be appropriate, as they do not consider the personal circumstances of each investor and may also lack flexibility to take into account changes in market prices. Therefore, the SFC currently proposes that platform operators will be required to set a limit for each client's exposure to virtual assets based on the client's financial situation and personal circumstances. Platform operators will also be expected to fully understand the risk tolerance levels and risk profiles of their clients before conducting any transactions. These safeguards will not apply to institutional and qualified corporate professional investors. The platform operator should exercise due skill, care, and diligence to ensure the methodology for risk profiling is properly designed. This assessment should be based on the information obtained through the Know Your Client process, the methodology adopted for categorizing clients, and an explanation of their risk profiles should also be made available to clients. In discharging its suitability obligations, a platform operator has to take into consideration amongst other things, various non-exhaustive factors. The first of these is that the platform operators should establish a proper mechanism to assess the suitability of virtual assets for clients. This mechanism should be holistic, taking into account all relevant factors concerning the personal circumstances of a client, including concentration risk. Secondly, the platform operator should match the risk return profile of the recommended virtual asset with the personal circumstances of the client. It should assess the risk return profile of the relevant virtual assets and assign an appropriate risk profile. The risk profiling methodology used should consider both quantitative and qualitative factors and all risks involved, and the explanation of the risk profile of virtual assets must be made available on the platform. The platform operator must also periodically review the risk profiling methodology, the mechanism for virtual assets, and the risk profiles of virtual assets. It's important to note, however, that merely matching a virtual asset's risk rating mechanically with a client's risk tolerance level may not be sufficient to discharge the suitability obligation. Thirdly, the platform operator should have appropriate tools for assessing a client's concentration risk based on the information obtained through its Know Your Client process and any virtual assets held with the platform operator. The platform operator is required to act diligently and carefully in providing any advice, ensuring that advice and recommendations are based on thorough analysis and having taken into account available alternatives. And finally, the platform operator should ensure that any conflicts of interest are properly managed and minimized to ensure that clients are treated fairly. This includes not taking commission rebates or other benefits as the primary basis for soliciting or recommending a particular virtual asset to clients. Platform operators are prohibited from posting any advertisement in connection with a specific virtual asset. If any product-specific materials are posted on the platform operator must ensure that these materials are factual, fair, and balanced. In addition, except when dealing with institutional and qualified corporate professional investors, platform operators must ensure that any solicitation or recommendation involving virtual assets is reasonably suitable for the particular client, taking into account information about the client that the platform operator is or should be aware of through the exercise of due diligence. The question of whether a solicitation or recommendation triggers the suitability requirement is a matter of fact, which should be addressed in light of all the circumstances leading up to the point of sale or advice. In the absence of other circumstances that amount to a solicitation or recommendation in respect of a particular virtual asset, the posting of factual, fair, and balanced product-specific materials would not in itself amount to a solicitation or recommendation and would not trigger the suitability requirement. However, some virtual assets are considered to be complex products, where their terms, features, or risks are not easily understood by retail investors. When dealing with complex products, platform operators are required to ensure that the product is suitable for the client in all circumstances, unless the client is an institutional qualified corporate professional investor. Platform operators are also required to provide prominent and clear warning statements regarding complex products to clients prior to and reasonably proximate to the point of sale or advice. It's important to note that for complex products traded on the platform where there's been no solicitation or recommendation, the platform operator is not required to comply with the obligation to ensure the suitability of the complex product for the client or the obligation to provide a warning statement, although it's still required to assess the client's risk tolerance level and risk profile and to set a reasonable exposure limit to satisfy the suitability obligations, which I talked about earlier. The determination as to whether a virtual asset is a complex product or not is made by the platform operator. In making that determination, the platform operator is required to consider whether the virtual asset is a derivative product, whether a secondary market is available for the virtual asset at publicly available prices, whether adequate and transparent information about the virtual asset is available to retail investors, and whether there's a risk of losing more than the amount invested. whether any features or terms of the virtual asset could fundamentally alter the nature or risk of the investment or payout profile, or include multiple variables or complicated formulas to determine the return, and whether any features or terms of the virtual asset might render the investment illiquid and or difficult to value. The SFC proposes that licensed VA trading platform operators should set up a token admission and review committee, which should, as a minimum, consist of members of senior management responsible for managing the key business line, compliance, risk management, and information technology. The responsibilities of the committee will include establishing, implementing, and enforcing the criteria for admitting, halting, suspending, and withdrawing virtual assets from trading, and the rules setting out the obligations and restrictions on virtual asset issuers, for example, their obligation to notify the licensed platform operator of any proposed hard fork or airdrop, any material change in the issuer's business, or any regulatory action taken against the issuer. Making the final decision as to whether to admit, halt, suspend, and withdraw a virtual asset for clients to trade based on the criteria, and regularly reviewing the criteria and the rules I've just mentioned. Also, licensed virtual asset trading platform operators will be required to monitor each virtual asset admitted for trading on an ongoing basis and consider whether to continue to allow it to trade. Review reports should be regularly submitted to the Token Admission and Review Committee, which should report to the Board of Directors at least monthly. The committee's reports should, at a minimum, include details of the virtual assets made available to retail clients for trading. In the event of any halt, suspension, or withdrawal of a virtual asset from trading, the platform operator has to notify clients as soon as practicable, inform them of the options available to clients holding that virtual asset, and ensure that they're fairly treated. The SFC emphasizes in the consultation paper that virtual assets are not regulated by the SFC as such, meaning that the SFC has not vetted or reviewed their offering and marketing materials. This is very different from the situation where conventional financial products are offered to the public, as these are typically subject to the authorization or registration regime of the regulatory authorities in the relevant jurisdiction. In the light of this, the SFC proposes to introduce a set of objective criteria for licensed virtual asset trading platform operators to follow when determining whether to make a specific virtual asset available to clients, and platform operators will be required to ensure that these criteria are met prior to the admission of a virtual asset to trading. Platform operators will also be required to monitor virtual assets on an ongoing basis following admission to ensure that they continue to meet the criteria. Platform operators will be required to perform reasonable due diligence on all virtual assets, irrespective of whether they will be made available to retail clients, before admitting them for trading, to ensure that they meet the criteria established by their Token Admission and Review Committee. The non-exhaustive factors which should be considered by platform operators include the background of the management or development team of the virtual asset, the regulatory status of a virtual asset in each jurisdiction in which the trading platform operator provides trading services, and whether its regulatory status would also affect the regulatory obligations of the platform operator. The supply, demand, maturity, and liquidity of a virtual asset, including its market cap, average daily trading volume, track record, and so on. The technical aspects of the virtual asset, including the security infrastructure of its blockchain protocol, the size of the blockchain and network, and especially how resistant it is to common attacks, the type of consensus algorithm, and the risk relating to code defects, breaches, and other threats relating to the virtual asset and its supporting blockchain, or the practices and protocols that apply to them. The quality of the relevant marketing materials used by the issuer of the virtual asset. These should be accurate and not misleading. The market risks of a virtual asset, including concentrations of virtual asset holdings or control by a small number of individuals or entities, price manipulation and fraud, and the impact of the virtual asset's wider or narrow adoption on market risks, and the legal risks associated with the virtual asset, including any pending or potential civil, regulatory, criminal, or enforcement action relating to its issuance, distribution, or use. The SFC is proposing to allow licensed VA trading platform operators to provide trading in eligible large cap virtual assets to retail investors. Where a platform operator intends to make virtual assets available to retail clients, in addition to conducting due diligence to ensure that the virtual asset meets the general token admission criteria, it will also need to ensure that the virtual asset meets the specific token admission criteria as an eligible large cap virtual asset. To be considered as an eligible large cap virtual asset, the virtual asset must be acceptable in at least two acceptable indices issued by at least two independent index providers. An acceptable index is an index with a clearly defined objective to measure the performance of the largest virtual assets. For example, an index which measures the top 10 largest virtual assets in the market, which is investable, meaning that the constituent virtual assets should be sufficiently liquid and objectively calculated and rules-based. In addition, the index provider should have the necessary expertise and technical resources to construct, maintain, and review the methodology and rules of the index, which should be well documented, consistent, and transparent. To be considered independent, an index provider must not belong to or be within the same group as the licensed platform operator. Licensed platform operators will also be required to ensure that at least one of the two indices is issued by an index provider with a track record in publishing indices for the traditional non-virtual asset financial market. An example of such an index provider is one that is issued an index tracked by an SFC authorized index fund. What the proposals mean is that the number of virtual assets which will be eligible for trading by retail investors will be fairly limited, and in the view of some commentators, too limited. Licensed VA trading platform operators are also under an ongoing obligation to monitor all admitted virtual assets, and they're expected to evaluate whether to continue to offer trading of a virtual asset to retail investors where an admitted virtual asset ceases to be a constituent of an acceptable index. In this situation, the platform operator should consider whether there are issues relating to the virtual asset warranting a trading halt or restricting retail clients to selling their positions only. In addition to conducting due diligence to ensure that the general and specific token admission criteria are met, licensed VA trading platform operators will also have to conduct reasonable due diligence in relation to a number of other matters before admitting any virtual asset for trading. First, licensed platform operators will have to ensure that their own internal controls, systems, technology, and infrastructure, for example, anti-money laundering, monitoring, and market surveillance tools, are able to support and manage any risks specific to the virtual asset. They're also expected to conduct a smart contract audit, focusing on reviewing whether the smart contract is subject to any contract vulnerabilities or security flaws for virtual assets based on blockchains with a smart contract layer, unless the platform operator is able to demonstrate that it would be reasonable to rely on a smart contract audit already conducted by an independent auditor. Finally, before making virtual assets available for trading by retail clients, a licensed platform operator must submit a legal opinion or memorandum to the SFC confirming that the virtual assets are not within the definition of securities under the SFO. If a licensed platform operator would like to make available for retail trading a virtual asset which fulfills the general token admission criteria, but not the specific token admission criteria, it can submit a detailed proposal regarding the virtual asset to the SFC for discussion. Upon a review of the proposal, the SFC may decide to allow the retail trading of the virtual asset on a case-by-case basis. As part of the disclosure obligations, Hong Kong licensed virtual asset trading platform operators are expected to provide clients with adequate product information to enable them to evaluate the position of their investments. This information is required to be made available on the platform operator's website and should include the price and trading volume of virtual assets on the platform, for example, in the last 24 hours, information about the management team or developer of the virtual assets, the issue date, a brief description of the terms and features of the virtual assets, links to the virtual assets official websites if there are any, links to the smart contract audit reports of the virtual assets if there are any, and where the virtual assets have voting rights, how these voting rights will be handled by the platform operator. Platform operators must ensure that any product-specific materials and other materials posted on the platform do not contain false, biased, misleading, or deceptive information. Moreover, upon request, platform operators must disclose their financial condition to clients by providing a copy of their latest audited balance sheet and profit and loss account required to be filed with the SFC. If there have been any material changes that adversely affect their financial condition after the date of the accounts, these changes must also be disclosed to clients. Except in the case of institutional and qualified corporate professional investors, platform operators are required to fully disclose the risks that clients may be exposed to in trading virtual assets and using the platform operator's virtual asset trading services. Now, I'll go through some of the risks that platform operators have to disclose. First, they're required to disclose that virtual assets are highly risky and investors need to exercise caution when investing in them. They should also disclose that the legal status of virtual assets is still uncertain, as they may or may not be considered to be property. And this uncertainty may affect the nature and enforceability of a client's interest in a virtual asset. Platform operators must also disclose that the offering documents or product information provided by the issuer have not been subject to regulatory scrutiny by any regulatory body, and that the protection offered by the Investor Compensation Fund does not apply to virtual asset transactions, irrespective of the nature of the tokens. Other disclosure obligations relate to the fact that virtual assets are not legal tender, meaning that they're not backed by the government or any authorities, and that transactions in virtual assets may be irreversible, and losses due to fraudulent or accidental transactions may not be recoverable. Platform operators are also required to disclose that the value of a virtual asset may be derived from the continued willingness of market participants to exchange fiat currency for it, meaning that the value of a particular virtual asset may be completely and permanently lost should the market for that virtual asset disappear. The extreme volatility and unpredictability of virtual asset prices compared to fiat currencies and the potential for loss of the entire investment should also be disclosed, as well as the potential for legislative and regulatory changes to adversely affect the use, transfer, exchange, and value of virtual assets. Other risks that are required to be disclosed include the increased risk of fraud or cyber attack to which virtual assets are exposed, and that technological difficulties experienced by the platform operator may prevent clients from accessing their virtual assets. The SFC has also set up minimum information that a platform operator should include on its website, which includes but isn't limited to adequate and appropriate information about its business, including contact details and services available to clients, its trading and operational rules, as well as token admission and removal rules and criteria, its admission and trading fees and charges, including illustrative examples of how the fees and charges are calculated for ease of understanding by clients, the relevant material information for each virtual asset to enable clients to appraise the position of their investments, the rights and obligations of the platform operator and the client, arrangements for dealing with settlement failures in respect of transactions executed on its platform, detailed documentation of market models, order types and trading rules, as well as deposit and withdrawal processes for fiat currencies and virtual assets where applicable, clients' liability for unauthorized virtual asset transactions, circumstances in which the platform operator may disclose the client's personal information to third parties, including regulators and auditors, the client's right to prior notice of any change in the platform operator's rules, procedures, or policies, dispute resolution mechanisms, including complaints procedures, and the types of services that would only be available to professional investors. I'll now shift focus to the requirements for insurance or compensation arrangements for licensed virtual asset trading platform operators. The SFC also seeks views on any other proposed options and technical solutions to mitigate risks associated with taking custody of client virtual assets. The SFC is proposing to modify the current insurance requirements applicable to SFO licensed operators, which requires them to maintain at all times an insurance policy covering the risks associated with the client virtual assets held in hot storage, that's full coverage, and cold storage, substantial coverage, for example, 95%, as there are practical difficulties in obtaining insurance for hot storage, and where it is available, the insurance premiums may not be commercially sustainable. In the light of this, the SFC proposes to modify the existing insurance requirements to require a licensed platform operator to establish a compensation arrangement that's approved by the SFC to provide an appropriate level of coverage for risks associated with the custody of client virtual assets, such as hacking incidents on the platform or default on the part of the licensed platform operator. The compensation arrangement should include any or a combination of third-party insurance and funds of the platform operator or any corporation within the same group of companies as the platform operator, which are set aside on trust and designated for that purpose. Where licensed platform operators set aside their own funds or funds of a corporation within the same group of companies to satisfy the compensation requirements, these funds must be held on trust and designated for that purpose and also be segregated from the assets of the licensed platform operator or any corporation in the same group of companies as the platform operator. The SFC's proposals will also require a licensed platform operator to monitor the total value of client virtual assets under its custody on a daily basis. If the licensed platform operator becomes aware that the total value of client virtual assets under custody exceeds the amount covered under the approved compensation arrangement, and this situation is expected to persist, it must inform the SFC and take prompt remedial action. Platform operators are required to use verifiable and quantifiable criteria when selecting an insurance company. These include a valuation schedule of assets insured, maximum coverage per incident, and overall maximum coverage, as well as any excluding factors. Under the existing SFO regime, Hong Kong licensed virtual asset trading platform operators are not allowed to offer, trade, or deal in virtual asset futures contracts or related derivatives. However, the SFC acknowledges that there has been increasing interest in offering virtual asset derivative products, particularly to institutional investors. The SFC is therefore consulting on the type of business models and virtual asset derivatives that licensed platform operators would offer first, as well as market demand, which will form the basis of a subsequent SFC review exercise to formulate relevant policies for trading virtual asset derivatives. I'm now going to look at the proposed adaptations to the existing requirements for SFO licensed platform operators that the SFC plans to incorporate into the VATP guidelines. Under the same business, same risk, same rules principle, licensed platform operators under the existing SFO regime, of which, of course, there aren't very many, are subject to the requirements that apply to securities brokers and automated trading venues. However, these requirements are adapted to address the specific risks associated with virtual assets and cover areas such as safe custody of assets, KYC procedures, AML, CTF regulations, prevention of market manipulative and abusive activities, criteria for admitting virtual assets for trading, accounting and audit, risk management, avoidance of conflicts of interest and cybersecurity. These requirements are currently set out in the VATP terms and conditions, which are imposed as licensing conditions on SFO licensed VA platform operators. However, on the commencement of the AMLO VASP regime, the VATP guidelines, which contain modifications to the existing requirements, will replace the VATP terms and conditions and all platform operators, whether licensed under the SFO and or the AMLO, will be required to comply with them. The SFC is proposing to make a number of adaptations to the existing requirements. First, the SFC proposes to remove the current requirement under the VATP terms and conditions, which allows platforms to admit for trading only security tokens that are asset-backed, approved or qualified by or registered for trading in comparable jurisdictions that have a 12-month post-issue track record. When this requirement was first introduced by the SFC in 2019, the intention was to prevent platforms from admitting fraudulent ICOs for trading, although in fact the requirement prevented trading in all ICO tokens, fraudulent or not. Given the significant shift in the virtual asset market landscape, specifically the emergence of tokenized securities, the SFC considers that this requirement may no longer be relevant in some cases. Licensed platform operators will instead be required to comply with the general token admission criteria under the VATP guidelines and guidance on the distribution of security tokens, which will be published by the SFC in due course. Secondly, licensed platform operators will no longer need to provide a written legal opinion or memorandum on whether virtual assets or securities under the SFO, except where they're made available to retail clients. And thirdly, licensed platform operators will only need to disclose to their clients how they will handle voting rights arising from a client's ownership of a virtual asset, instead of being required to facilitate the exercise of these rights. Currently, the SFC prohibits platform operators from engaging in proprietary trading or market-making activities on a proprietary basis. Proprietary trading means trading activities conducted for the account of the platform operator or any user, which is a company within the same group of companies as the platform operator trading as principal, or any account in which the platform operator or any user within its group of companies as the platform operator has an interest. The SFC proposes to include exceptions to the proprietary trading requirement, where platform operators would be permitted to conduct back-to-back transactions off-platform or permitted by the SFC on a case-by-case basis. Back-to-back transactions are a type of transaction where a platform operator receives a purchase order from a client, purchases a virtual asset from a third party, and then sells the same virtual asset to the client. Alternatively, in a sell order from a client, the platform operator purchases the virtual asset from the client and then sells the same virtual asset to a third party. In these transactions, no market risk is taken by the platform operator. Finally, where virtual assets are only made available to professional investors, it's proposed that licensed platform operators will only need to notify the SFC in advance of any plan to add or remove products to or from their trading platform without the need to seek approval from the SFC. However, where virtual assets are made available to retail clients, the position will remain the same as before, meaning that platform operators will still be required to obtain the SFC's prior written approval for any plan to admit, suspend, or remove them for trading. I'll now move on to the AML-CTF requirements. I'd like to draw your attention to the requirements under the new licensing regime, which require licensed virtual asset trading platform operators to comply with the additional virtual asset-specific AML-CTF provisions due to their exposure to money laundering and terrorist financing risks arising from the distinct characteristics of virtual assets. These requirements will be outlined in a standalone Chapter 12 in the existing guideline on anti-money laundering and counter-financing of terrorism for licensed corporations. The SFC proposes that the existing guideline is going to be renamed the Guideline on Anti-Money Laundering and Counter-Terrorist Financing for Licensed Corporations and SFC-licensed Virtual Asset Service Providers, and incorporate Chapter 12 along with other existing AML-CTF requirements applicable to SFC-licensed corporations and their associated entities. Also, amendments will be made to the Prevention of Money Laundering and Terrorist Finance Guideline issued by the SFC for associated entities to cover associated entities of licensed platform operators. Separately, licensed corporations which are not licensed platform operators may also be exposed to similar money laundering, terrorist financing risks when carrying out business associated with virtual assets, or may carry out business which gives rise to money laundering, terrorist financing risks in relation to virtual assets. In these circumstances, they should refer to the relevant requirements in Chapter 12. And I'll now look at some of these key requirements. The specific requirements for virtual asset transfers set out in Section 13A of Schedule 2 to the AMLO, which apply to platform operators, which are licensed under the SFO, the AMLO, or both, will take effect from the 1st of June 2023, and the requirements will be outlined in Chapter 12. The general principle is to apply wire transfer requirements under FATF Recommendation 16 to virtual asset transfers. This means that when acting as an ordering institution of virtual asset transfers, a licensed platform operator must obtain, record and submit the required information of the originator and recipient to the beneficiary institution immediately and securely. Similarly, when acting as a beneficiary institution, a licensed platform operator has to obtain and record the required information submitted by the ordering institution or intermediary institution. Also, a licensed platform operator should conduct due diligence on a virtual asset transfer counterparty, the ordering institution, intermediary institution, or beneficiary institution involved in a virtual asset transfer, to identify and assess the associated money laundering terrorist financing risks and apply risk-based AML-CTF measures. When conducting virtual asset transfers to or from unhosted wallets, a licensed platform operator should obtain and record the required information from its customer, who must be the originator or recipient. The platform operator must also take reasonable measures to mitigate and manage the money laundering terrorist financing risks associated with the transfers. Licensed virtual asset trading platform operators need to be aware of the requirements for identifying suspicious transactions and conducting sanctions screening for all relevant parties involved in virtual asset transfers. These requirements are provided in paragraphs 1276, 1281 to 1283 of Chapter 12. Paragraph 1276 of Chapter 12 outlines the need for virtual asset trading platform operators to establish policies and procedures to identify and analyze any additional red flags of suspicious transactions and activities in connection with the screening of virtual asset transactions, the associated wallet addresses, and ongoing monitoring of additional customer information using the list of illustrative indicators of suspicious transactions and activities, which include a customer who's opened multiple accounts with the same beneficial owners or controlling parties for no apparent business reason, where there are requests made by customers for dealing services where the source of the funds is unclear or not consistent with the customer's profile and apparent standing. If there are grounds for suspicion, platform operators should take appropriate steps, such as making inquiries with customers to identify if there are any grounds for suspicion. If licensed platform operators become aware of heightened money laundering or terrorist financing risks from the screenings, they should apply enhanced customer due diligence and ongoing monitoring and take other preventative or mitigating action as necessary to reduce the risks involved. Paragraph 1281 of Chapter 12 explains that licensed virtual asset trading platform operators must implement an effective screening mechanism, including screening all relevant parties in a virtual asset transfer. This includes screening the recipient if the platform operator acts as the ordering institution or the virtual asset is transferred to an unhosted wallet, screening the originator if the virtual asset trading platform operator acts as the beneficiary institution or the virtual asset is transferred from an unhosted wallet, or screening both the originator and the recipient if the platform operator acts as the intermediary institution. The screening should be conducted against the current database before executing the virtual assets database. Paragraph 1283 of Chapter 12 provides guidance on what to do when a virtual asset transfer can be completed prior to or without the required screening or where any of the required originator and recipient information is missing. In these cases, virtual asset trading platform operators should take appropriate risk mitigating measures, having regard to their business practices, and document those measures. I'll now look at the SFC's regulatory powers in relation to virtual asset trading platform operators licensed under the AMLO. In general, the SFC will have broad supervisory powers to enforce the AML, CTF, and other regulatory requirements under the revised AMLO. For example, it will be able to enter the business premises of licensed virtual asset trading platform operators and their associated entities to conduct routine inspections, request production of documents and records, investigate breaches and impose appropriate disciplinary sanctions such as reprimand, an order for remedial action, a fine and suspension or revocation of a person's license. In order to ensure that regulated persons are held accountable for their actions, the SFC has published the disciplinary fining guidelines in Appendix D of the consultation paper, which indicate the manner in which the SFC proposes to exercise its disciplinary powers to impose a pecuniary penalty under the relevant section of the AMLO on a regulated person who is or was at any time guilty of misconduct or who the SFC considers not to be a fit and proper person. The maximum fine the SFC can impose is the greater of 10 million Hong Kong dollars or 3 times the amount of the profit gained or loss avoided by the person as a result of the person's misconduct or of the person's conduct that led to the SFC forming the opinion that the person is not fit and proper. Under Section 53ZSR of the amended AMLO, a regulated person is guilty of misconduct if they contravene a material requirement, that's a provision of the AMLO, or any condition imposed on their license, or conduct an act or omission relating to the provision of a virtual asset service which is or is likely to be prejudicial to the interests of the investing public or the public interest. In this regard, the SFC may use the number of persons affected by the misconduct as the multiplier in assessing the appropriate level of pecuniary penalty. For example, the SFC may impose a fine not exceeding 10 million Hong Kong dollars for each affected person. However, it's important to note that the appropriate approach to be used in each case will depend on the specific facts and circumstances. In determining whether to impose a fine under the AMLO and the amount of the fine, the SFC will take into account all the circumstances of the case, including whether the act was reckless, intentional, or negligent, its impact on the reputation of Hong Kong as an international financial center, the duration and frequency of the conduct, whether the conduct is widespread in the relevant industry, whether significant costs have been imposed on or losses caused to others, particularly clients, market users, or the investing public, and whether a breach of fiduciary duty was involved. Recognizing that existing SFO licensed platform operators may need to revise their systems and controls to comply with some of the requirements under the VATP guidelines, AML guideline for licensed corporation and SFC licensed VAST and other guidelines, the SFC proposes to provide a 12-month transitional period for them to conform to the requirements in relation to existing clients or virtual assets currently available through these existing platform operators. Starting from the 1st of June 2023, any virtual asset trading platform carrying on business in relation to non-security virtual assets in Hong Kong or actively marketing its services to Hong Kong investors without a valid license under the AMLO will be in breach of the new licensing requirements under the AMLO VASP regime unless they're eligible for the transitional arrangements. So the transitional arrangements are aimed at providing a reasonable amount of time for virtual asset trading platforms to either obtain a license or wind down their operations in an orderly manner. A virtual asset trading platform which is in operation in Hong Kong prior to the 1st of June 2023 and has a meaningful and substantial presence is eligible for the transitional arrangements. Eligible trading platforms include platform operators currently licensed under the SFO and virtual asset trading platform applicants under the existing SFO regime, which have commenced their virtual asset trading platform business in non-security tokens in Hong Kong. The SFC will allow these trading platforms to continue to operate in Hong Kong without an AMLO license until the 31st of May 2024, and they will then be subject to a deeming arrangement from the 1st of June 2024. To determine whether a virtual asset trading platform has a meaningful and substantial presence in Hong Kong, the SFC will consider a range of factors, including whether the platform is incorporated or has a physical office in Hong Kong, whether its central management and control of the platform and key personnel are based in Hong Kong, and whether the trading platform is live with a considerable number of clients and volume of trading activities in Hong Kong. Similarly, individuals performing regulated functions for qualified pre-existing virtual asset trading platforms may continue to operate in Hong Kong until the 31st of May 2024, and that will then be subject to a deeming arrangement from the 1st of June 2024. To be eligible for the deeming arrangement, individuals applying to be responsible officers of a pre-existing virtual asset trading platform must have been performing a regulated function in Hong Kong for a virtual asset trading platform immediately before 1st of June 2023 and at the time of application. However, the pre-existing virtual asset trading platform for which the individual proposes to be the responsible officer does not necessarily have to be the same platform where they have been performing the function immediately before the 1st of June 2023. Individuals applying to be the licensed reps of a pre-existing virtual asset trading platform must be performing a regulated function in Hong Kong for the pre-existing virtual asset trading platform at the time of application to qualify for the deeming arrangement. Virtual asset trading platforms which are uncertain about whether they're eligible for the transitional arrangements have been asked to discuss their intended license applications with the FinTech unit of the SFC in advance of the effective date of the AMLO VASP regime. To be eligible for the deeming arrangement, pre-existing virtual asset trading platforms have to submit a fully completed license application online under the AMLO VASP regime between the 1st of June 2023 and the 29th of February 2024. In its license application, the platform operator will need to confirm and demonstrate that it has been operating a virtual asset trading platform operator in Hong Kong immediately before 1st of June 2023 and that it will comply with and have arrangements in place to ensure compliance with the applicable regulatory requirements upon being deemed to be licensed. If the SFC is satisfied that the applicant meets the deeming conditions, it will automatically be deemed to be licensed from the 1st of June 2024 until its license application is approved, withdrawn or refused, whichever is earlier. At the same time, the SFC will notify an applicant whose application doesn't meet the necessary conditions or who does not have a reasonable prospect of successfully showing it can comply with the relevant legal and regulatory requirements. In these cases, the virtual asset trading platform must close down its business by the 31st of May 2024 or 3 months from the date of the SFC notice, whichever is later. Pre-existing virtual asset trading platforms that do not intend to apply for a license must commence closing down their operations in an orderly manner. Although the deadline for closing down their trading platforms is 31st of May 2024, the SFC suggests that they should stop active marketing of their services to Hong Kong investors before the 31st of May 2024. Virtual asset trading platforms that don't operate in Hong Kong immediately before the 1st of June 2023 must not carry on business in Hong Kong or actively market their services to Hong Kong investors until they are formally licensed by the SFC under the AMLO VASP regime. To avoid confusion in relation to virtual asset trading platform status, the SFC will publish lists on its website to inform the public of their regulatory status. These will include a list of licensed virtual asset trading platforms, setting out the names of virtual asset trading platforms which are formally licensed by the SFC under the existing SFO regime, the AMLO VASP regime, or both, and a list of all deemed licensed virtual asset trading platforms consisting of the names of pre-existing virtual asset trading platforms that are deemed to be licensed as of the 1st of June 2024. The SFC hasn't vetted the fitness and properness of the platforms on this list, and investors are reminded to exercise caution in trading on these platforms. Where the license application of a deemed licensed platform operator is approved, withdrawn, or refused, the name of the platform operator will be removed and added to the list of licensed virtual asset trading platforms or the list of closing down virtual asset trading platforms. The list of closing down virtual asset trading platforms will set out the names of pre-existing virtual asset trading platforms required by law to shut down within a specified period. These include pre-existing trading platforms to which the SFC has issued a notice to inform them that the deeming arrangement will not apply to them, and platform operators that are initially deemed to be licensed but whose license application is subsequently withdrawn or refused by the SFC. Finally, the SFC will publish a list of unlicensed virtual asset trading platforms, setting out the names of virtual asset trading platforms that are unlicensed under the SFO or AMLO and are illegally conducting business in Hong Kong or actively marketing their services to Hong Kong investors. On the commencement of the new AMLO VASP licensing regime, the SFC will regulate the trading of security tokens by VA trading platforms under the existing SFO regime, as you will recall, and the trading of non-security tokens by VA trading platforms under the AMLO VASP regime. The SFC says in the consultation paper that the terms and features of virtual assets may evolve over time, causing their classification to shift from non-security tokens to security tokens or vice versa. And for this reason, the SFC encourages virtual asset trading platforms and their responsible officers and licensed representatives to obtain dual licensing under both the existing SFO regime and the AMLO VASP regime to avoid any potential business disruption or violation of either licensing regime. And to simplify the application process, the SFC will put in place certain arrangements. First, those applying for dual licenses are required to submit a single consolidated application online and indicate that they're applying for both licenses simultaneously. For SFO licensed platform operators, which currently provide trading in non-security tokens and platforms which have already applied for licenses under the existing SFO regime, the application process has been simplified and they're only required to submit certain additional information required under the AMLO VASP regime to the SFC. The SFC also said that some virtual asset trading platforms did not fully understand the SFC's regulatory expectations in making licensing applications in the past, partly due to the complexity of their business models, causing a delay in processing the license application. And to address this, the SFC is requiring virtual asset trading platform applicants to engage an external assessor to assess their business and submit two assessors' reports to the SFC. The external assessor's phase one report will need to be submitted with the trading platform's license application, and it will cover several areas, including the design effectiveness of the virtual asset trading platform's proposed structure, governance, operation, systems, and controls, with a focus on key areas such as governance and staffing, token admission, custody of virtual assets, KYC, AML, CTF, market surveillance, risk management, and cybersecurity. The external assessor's phase two report will be required to be submitted after approval in principle of the licenses granted by the SFC. This will assess the effectiveness and implementation of the actual adoption of the planned policies, procedures, systems, and controls. Any deviation from the planned policies and procedures must be clearly set out and explained. The second assessment should cover several key areas, which include verification and confirmation that all external service providers, such as market surveillance tools, AML, CTF tools, and KYC tools, have been engaged, and the systems provided by them are fully adapted as planned and are in operation. The conduct of a vulnerability assessment to identify, rank, and report potential vulnerabilities that may compromise a system and should include internal and external vulnerability scans. The performance of penetration tests on network devices, firewalls, servers, databases, wallets, and web applications to identify any vulnerabilities or potential issues, and confirmation that major critical rectification steps have been taken for all medium to high risk items identified in the penetration and vulnerability tests. The SFC will grant final approval only upon being satisfied with the findings of the Phase 2 report and completion of other outstanding matters, such as arranging insurance policies, opening segregated bank accounts, injecting capital, completing admission procedures for virtual assets to be offered, and so on. When selecting and appointing the external assessor to produce the required reports, the virtual asset trading platform operator applicant should exercise due skill, care, and diligence and should consider its expertise, experience, and track record in reviewing the areas concerned. And the virtual asset trading platform operator could engage separate external assessors to review different areas of the business depending on their expertise, experience, and track record. The external assessor should be independent of the applicant and its group, and the service provider of a particular system should not act as the external assessor for the same system. And the external assessor's capability statement should be submitted to the SFC together with the assessment report. So that brings me to the end of the presentation part of today's webinar. So unfortunately, I don't have time for a Q&A session. But if you would like to send any questions by email to juliacharlton@charltonslaw.com, I'll do my best to respond. And that brings me to the end. So thank you again for joining me today.